I must have in my mind the 80s, because in my weekly blog posting, I talked about The Facts of Life, which was an 80s TV show. And then the other day, as our family was returning a rental car to the service department at our dealership, we were listening to satellite radio, and we were listening to the 80s on 8 when Depeche Mode's song from 1984 came on that I want to read the lyrics to. People are people, so why should it be that you and I should get along so awfully? So we're different colors and we're different creeds, and different people have different needs. It's obvious you hate me, though I've done nothing wrong. I never even met you, so what could I have done? I can't understand what makes a man hate another man. Help me understand. Now, I would like to say that the world has changed in 35 years. That when Depeche Mode sang this in 1984, that we were more terrible to one another. But unfortunately, that is not the case. There is still hatred. There is still the fact that people get along so awfully. There's people who hate people that they've never met. And you could cry out and say, I can't understand what makes a man hate another man. Help me understand. But radicalized extremists, those that are espousing various avenues of hatred, continue to tell us false reasons to divide. But God tells us here in this passage why we should accept one another. The first thing we see here is that Paul tells us the basis of acceptance. Accept one another then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Well, what is acceptance? Acceptance is more than just tolerance, more than stomaching someone, more than peaceful coexistence. Yes, we don't like one another, but we can share the same space. That's not what acceptance is. Honestly, I like the way the King James puts it. The King James Version says this in verse 7. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received you. That we're to receive one another. Acceptance means taking it in, welcoming into your inner circle. Acceptance is better defined by what it isn't. The opposite of acceptance is rejection. And therefore, we could say as well, don't reject one another. That we welcome people in. We receive them to ourselves. The Greek word here is a compound and complex word, which means to go out to receive. And so not only is it that we wait for people to come to us, really that's not the idea of acceptance. Acceptance is really we go out to welcome them in. We go where they are and say, come into my inner circle on your terms. And really, that's the model of acceptance that Paul is talking about here. We are to accept one another. We are to receive one another the same way Jesus did. Now, Jesus was and is God the Son. And He chose to empty Himself of all the nature of God and to become like one of us. John chapter 1 tells us that. Philippians 2 tells us that. That Jesus didn't wait for us to make it to heaven and then say, hey, I'll receive you. Jesus came to where we are, lived among us, and received us, welcomed us into His circle. And we're to do the same. We're to accept people just as Jesus accepted people. The clarion and truest expression of that in the Scriptures is found in Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10, which I will read. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The nature of acceptance is therefore grace, unmerited favor. We go out with grace to receive others because that's what Christ did for us. It's not earned. We are accepted by grace through faith. It's not human effort. We don't do something so that we earn God's attention and His favor. Much like the second verse of Rock of Ages says, could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? For these sins could not atone. Thou must save and Thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. If I cried and was remorseful forever, it would not do enough. If I were passionate to a fault and never lost that spiritual fire for God, that is not enough. None of these things. For these, my sin could not atone. Thou must save and Thou alone. We come to God with nothing. Acceptance has no strings attached. We could look at Acts chapter 10. It's not as if we bring anything or do anything. Acts 10, 35, 34 and 35 says this. Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take up your mat. And immediately he got up. And all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Here, Peter is healing someone and they found this paralytic. And all he says is, Jesus has healed you. You don't promise anything. You don't make any deals. That God restores God accepts, God receives, God welcomes in. Unlike the world. The world says to those that are handicapped, we have no need for you. The world says to those who are different, we have no need for you. But what does Jesus say? I will accept, I will receive, I will welcome those from every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. It requires no preparation. You do not clean the fish before you catch them. You cannot clean up your act in your own strength. We are created in Christ to do what needs to be done. We need to first come to Jesus, be received by Jesus, by grace through faith, and then we are created in Christ to do all the good things that God had prepared in advance for us to do. And it is always in that order. And so we are to follow the same pattern that Jesus did. We are to accept or welcome and receive one another. Which means that we need to break down some barriers. Because there are a number of things that separate us. And Paul's teaching in the previous chapter speaks of these barriers. Not only does Paul tell us the basis of acceptance, but Paul tells us the barriers of acceptance. Let me read for you Romans 14, verse 1. Accept him whose faith is weak. Same word. Receive or welcome in. Him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. One of the things we might be tempted to do is argue over disputable matters. There are things that we can have a difference of opinion over. And that's okay. Just because we welcome someone in, just because we receive someone in, doesn't mean we agree with them wholeheartedly. Acceptance is not agreement. There are gray matters. There were gray areas in Paul's day. What a person ate. Whether they ate food sacrificed to idols or not, that was a gray area. Observance of special days or not observing special days, that was a gray area. And there are gray areas in our day as well. There are some that say you should never go to the movies or television or theater or concerts. Because those things are worldly pleasures. There are some that say you shouldn't go to a restaurant if it serves alcohol because it's a stumbling block to those who are given to improper alcohol consumption. There are some that say you shouldn't pierce yourself. Shouldn't pierce your ears or your lip or your eyebrow or your nose or your navel or any other body part. There are some that say you shouldn't get a facelift or you shouldn't have in vitro fertilization or you shouldn't take psychotropic medication. That all these things are God's way of making you who you are, and therefore you should just pray about it. And then there are other people who hold the opposite view. And these are disputable matters. These are matters that are worthy of discussion, but they should not be matters that are worthy of separation, worthy of rejection. We should welcome those whose faith is not fully mature and not argue over disputable matters at that point in time. One of the ways that we accept people is we let them have uninformed opinions. And over time, hopefully, like Paul says, if you don't think like I do, that's okay. Just pray about it and God will show you the truth that I am telling you in time. The other verse that Paul talks about is verse 15. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you're no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. And then chapter 15, verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. We might be tempted to show partiality toward particular practices. And what does the scripture say? The scripture says that it is not enough simply to hold our tongue and to say, well, I'm not going to say anything about this. Because sometimes what we say does more damage than remaining silent. But what it does say is not only do we need to hold our tongue, we need to hold out our hand. Bear with those. Bear with the failings of the weak. Help those who need help. Instead of rejecting them. Ultimately, God's purpose demands that we accept one another, that we go out and receive and welcome in those around us. And Paul quotes four different Old Testament passages to show that. I'm not going to look at verse 12 today, or 13 today. It's important to recognize that the culmination of all these things is the hope that we have. That we as God's people, whether we are born Jewish or born Gentile, we have the same hope that the Christ will come and will bring with him reconciliation and peace. But Paul tells us, now that he's told us the nature of acceptance and the barriers to acceptance, he now tells us how to build acceptance. And he does it with these three passages. First, we are to praise God among outsiders, among the nations, among the Gentiles. Psalm 18:49 says, therefore I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises of your name. Why aren't we moving ahead? Okay, we already did that. There we go. Paul tells us how to build acceptance. Sorry that I had you skip the second one. If you missed the second one, it was the barriers to acceptance. Paul tells us how to build acceptance first by praising God among outsiders. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Now, if we are to praise God among the Gentiles, among the unbelievers, among the pagans, among the nations, among the unwashed masses yearning to breathe free, that means we have to praise God outside this building. People are not going to come in as much as we can go out. And the first thing that Paul tells us, to accept one another, and by extension, accept everyone, is to sing God's praises in the world, among the Gentiles. Not that the Gentiles are participating, among the unbelievers are not participating, but we are going there and we are praising God and singing hymns. Remember last week what hymns are. Hymns are doctrinal truth spoken memorably or shared memorably. We're to go out, praise God, and tell people the church's doctrines and truths. It's the first way to accept people. Go where they are and bring God with you. We can tell of God's wonderful deeds among those who don't believe him. The second thing, Deuteronomy 32:43. Rejoice, you nations, with his people. We can praise God with outsiders. Sure, there are people who will come into church, who will come into our situation, and we are to make the situation of worship welcoming, accepting, inoffensive. And we can do some of those things. I oftentimes get trapped into thinking that everyone knows what I'm saying and using special language, and we ought to be sort of eliminating the Christianese so that people who come in can worship with us. But I will tell you, I was listening to someone the other day, and they were talking about how odd Christian worship is. And the reason why they were saying that it's odd is because I would like you to think about this. Is there any other place that you go, that you meet with people, and one of the things that you do while you are meeting with people is that you break into song together? Let's go out for coffee. Great. One of the things we're going to do is sing together. Let's go out to the mall and shop. Great. But we have to sing first. It's odd. It's peculiar. So maybe we not eliminate it, but we don't expect visitors to sing or understand why we're singing. And maybe we need to say, one of the things that God calls us to do is worship him, to exalt him. And one of the ways we do that memorably is by singing. We're not weird. Or maybe we are. But we can encourage unbelievers to join us in worship, fulfilling the scripture, rejoice, you nations, with his people. And then thirdly, Psalm 117, verse 1, we can praise God alongside outsiders. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you people. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. Some of those outsiders are going to be gently wooed by the Spirit. And they're going to come to faith. And they're going to be new Christians. Mostly trapped and remaining in their old ways. And we need to worship alongside them. Shoulder to shoulder, heart to heart, hand in hand. Our sermon in a sentence is this. By grace, we can welcome in anyone in the world. It would be easy to say that we should accept one another to follow Christ's example and fulfill God's plan. And it's as simple as that. And it's as true as that. But I'm asking you today to take it a step further. Those who are among us on a daily basis, and those who are with us on a daily basis, and those who are alongside us on a daily basis, are rejected in so many places, and therefore we as a church need to show that there is a place where they can be received as they are. And that's part of what I would love for us to take away. Not so much that we say, well, I'm going to accept anyone who comes to me. But that as we are among the nations, as we are with the nations, as we are alongside the nations, that we are going where people need Christ, and we are welcoming and receiving them into our hearts and inner circles. I read the following earlier this week. No matter how much a church wants to reach out, growth will not happen if the building and the people fail to say, welcome. And so as we conclude this summer of one another's, let us commit to knowing God's grace and removing some of the walls that separate us as people and saying, welcome. Welcome in. Welcome into this building. Welcome into my life. Welcome into my heart. Welcome into my circle of friends. Welcome to the company. Welcome to the neighborhood. Welcome. 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 By grace, we can welcome in anyone. It's what the scriptures say. It's what Paul is saying through Psalm 18, through Deuteronomy 32, through Psalm 117. We can welcome in the world if we want. Instead of spreading hatred, we can spread acceptance. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this summer of one another passages. We ask that you would help us to fulfill your purpose in this world by embracing one another. In Jesus' name, amen.